Thursday is Thanksgiving in America. And I say in America because America is not the only nation that has a Thanksgiving. I know every year John Attardo goes home and on their Thanksgiving and visits the family. So Thursday, what will you give Thanksgiving about? What will you be thankful for? But I'm more interested in what is it that you can't be thankful for? What is it, what circumstance that it's just not right in your life? It's sucked the Thanksgiving out of you. It's taken your joy. What circumstance, what things going on in your life, it's just not right. What I want to do, beginning today for the next couple of weeks, is I want to attempt to help you understand Thanksgiving. Because if I can help you understand Thanksgiving, the circumstance that has drained you, depressed you, made you sad, if I can help you understand Thanksgiving, that situation can change. And if I can help you understand Thanksgiving, at least if the situation doesn't change, your attitude about it will change. So that's what we're going to be looking at. This is a new series. Now, in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, the apostle gives us three elements of Christianity. Three elements that each person who is in Christ Jesus should have in their lives. Now, it's good to look at these because we can evaluate ourselves. We can look at our own lives and see if these are there. Because if they're not, then we're just doing a religious thing. We're just being hypocrites. So we really need to know. So as I read this passage to you, and we read it together off the screens, what I want you to do is evaluate your life and see if these elements are in you and operative. Okay? So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. And it says, be joyful always. Number one. Pray continually. How you doing? Number two. Here's a big one. Give thanks in all circumstances. How many? All circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now, God's will for you and God's will for me is that no matter what circumstance I'm in, I'm to be joyful. Are you that way in every, you know, have you ever had times where you just wanted to be mad? You wanted to be sad. You wanted to be angry. Right. Well, that's not good, is it? And he says, pray continually. Do you do that? Have you ever had a time where you didn't want to talk to God? You know, if you let this happen, if you let this circumstance happen that I'm having to go through right now, if you did this, I don't want to talk to you. You ever been upset with somebody, you just didn't want to talk to them, you just want to leave, you just want to... And we get that way with God, right? I don't want to talk to you. But he said, pray continually. And then he said this, he said, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Does that leave room for any circumstance to not give thanks to God for? Is there any circumstance that you can experience or that I can experience that is exempt from giving thanks to God? Is there anything that we can conjure up an excuse for not giving thanks to God because of a circumstance? In connection with your life, is there any circumstance that you can go through, any it's not right time, any it's not right circumstance that you can't thank God for? Is there any circle, any circumstance outside of the circle that's, we don't have to give thanks for that circumstance? No. See, in any situation that I find myself in, I should be able to find something in that circumstance, though it's not right, to give thanks to God. Whatever's happening in my life, I need to find a way to give thanks to God for that circumstance. Wow. That's wild, isn't it? Delbert, are you saying that this circumstance that I'm in right now I'm supposed to be in it? Yeah, that's God's will for you. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Anything that I go in, anything I experience, is God's will for me. If I am in Christ Jesus. Now, this is hard. This is not how we think. This isn't the way it works. So for the next 4 or 5 weeks, whatever, how long I feel like it takes to get it, we're in this series, and it's called It's Not Right. But if it's God's will for me, then is it not right? So I want us to get it. I want us to get this concept down. I want us to understand this concept about it. It's Thanksgiving. I mean, what has sucked the Thanksgiving out of me? What's going on in my life that is hindering me? Here's the concept that I want us to get. If you are a Christian and you are in Christ Jesus, then whatever circumstance you're experiencing is God's will for you, be it good or be it bad. And we're to give God thanks for it. Wow. Boy, Delbert, this is just a really great Thanksgiving sermon. You just knocking it out of the ballpark today, buddy. You just... But how revolutionary would it be if we learned about Thanksgiving and how to give thanks to God for it and why we should give thanks to God for it, and the circumstance changed? Wow. Thanksgiving is the essence of Christianity. It's the fabric of Christianity. Unthankfulness is the opposite. Unthankfulness displays an individual who's put out the Spirit's fire. Unthankfulness displays a dark heart. I want to read this to you because it's so necessary that we understand Thanksgiving if we're not thankful people. So let's look at this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "For although they knew God," they knew who? God. These people knew God. "They neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him." Now, what I want you to see here is they knew God, but what they didn't do was give thanks. Now, how did this roll out? Their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why? Because they didn't give thanksgiving. When you don't give thanksgiving, your thinking gets messed up. Your thinking becomes futile, meaningless. And your heart, your foolish heart, becomes dark. A person can know God, but because they don't give thanksgiving, then what they're displaying is a dark heart. And they're putting out the fire of God. So here's the very first thought, the primary concept that I want you to get today and through the time. It's probably the main thing that I'll say today. What in your life has sucked out thanksgiving? What is it there going on in your life? There is no way that you can conceive of ever giving God thanks for what you're experiencing or what you've experienced in the past. What is it you hate about life? What has life done to you? Your health? Health will do it. Health will suck the joy. Prayer. Thanksgiving right out of you. How about marital problems? Marital problems will suck it out. It's like living in hell. Finances. Finances will suck Thanksgiving right out of you. Occupation. Suck the Thanksgiving right out of you. No joy there. Have a job and a boss you hate. Children. Children will suck the joy and the Thanksgiving out of you. What is it in your life? What's going on in your life that you can't even conceive thanking God for? What is it? But what if we were somehow to understand that by giving thanks to God for it, that God takes that thing and makes it good in my life? What if we got the idea that, see, we want to blame the devil. It's much easier to blame the devil than it is to give thanks to God for something that we're going through. But the devil can't do anything to you unless God lets him. We're going to be looking at this. So, what if we learned how to do this? And that we figured out that if I do this, then God's going to take this circumstance, this it's not fair situation, and this it's not fair circumstance, and He's going to make it good for me. What if we could do that? Would that not be awesome? See, we Christians, if something good happens in our life, oh, hey, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Father. And we just get so excited because God has blessed us, right? So we thank God for the good things. But the same God who's in control of the good things doesn't let something else happen that we consider bad. Who do we thank then? It's the same God. Is God in control or not? Is He God or no? Is He not God? If the devil can't come at you and do anything, I don't care even if he does come at you and does something to you. God let him, it still goes back to God. Well, who do we thank then? You see, when we evaluate ourselves and we evaluate people in unthankfulness specifically, we basically see three categories that people will align in. So as I go through these three categories, I want you kind of evaluate yourself and maybe see which one of these that you kind of fit in the best if you're kind of an unthankful person and we have an unthankful generation. But let's look at this. And the first one is luck. Luck. Now, people go through life being lucky or unlucky, right? Everything's luck. And so when good things happen, they're lucky. But when bad things happen, they're unlucky. And so when unlucky things happen, we try to go back and reinvent what brought the luck. We go, right? We'll get a new lucky charm. We'll get a new rabbit's foot. We'll put our pants with a different leg in it first this time. Or we'll change our socks. Or, right? We'll do something to change the luck. Because it's luck. It's all it is luck. Right? Life's luck or unluck. Now, you sports fans, I know you know what I'm talking about. You know, I know you do. Yeah, come on. You know, what do? Your team's losing. What do? You uncross your legs, or you drink out of the other hand, or you get up and walk around the room, or you do something. Go change your shoes. You know, you do something. I have I had a brother-in-law. He's passed on, and Judy was visiting her sister, and Franklin was a big Georgia Bulldogs fan. He loved the Bulldogs, right? So he's watching them. They're having a great year. This is several years ago. Having a great year, undefeated. And so Judy's there. Franklin's watching the Dogs play. And as he said, and they're losing. They're having a bad game. So what Franklin does is go change his cap. Because you see, it's the cap's fault, right? And remember the futile thinking, the senseless thinking, the foolish thinking? But he goes and changes his cap. And that didn't work. So he goes and gets another cap. And he walks around the room and he does everything trying to reinvent what brought the luck in the previous weeks. And the Dogs lost. He couldn't change the luck. So you know whose fault it ended up being? It was Judy's fault. Because Judy wasn't there the other weeks. But she was there that week, so it was the only thing that was different. So it was Judy's fault. That is a futile thinking. Who do you thank for that? You can't thank luck, can you? Huh? It's either unthankfulness that we go through. Now, you can't thank God. God's got nothing to do with luck. So, you know, what do you do here? Now, let me balance this just a little bit for us Christians. You see, I am not lucky. I am blessed. Right? God blesses me. Good things happen. And then sometimes other things happen that I don't consider so good. Who do I thank for? I'm thanking God for the good things. Who do I thank for the ungood things? Right? See, if God's in control of this, God's in control of that. I got to learn something about this. So the first one's luck. And the second one is fatalistic. Now, fatalistic people, there's some invisible force out there. And it's got everything preset. This invisible force. And nobody knows what it is or where it is, but it's this invisible force. And everything has to get properly aligned. All the stars has to get properly aligned. You know, the age of Aquarius and you know, all the things, you know, has to get properly aligned up in life so that I get blessed. Because when it's all lined up right, then good things happen to me. But when bad things happen to me, things are just not lined up right because of this invisible force. And so it's going to be what it's going to be, right? That's what Doris Day is saying. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. Right? Is that the way it is? Is it, will it be what it's going to be? So you go through life fatalistically. Like it's got some force. Some force is going to make things happen good for me or make things bad happen for me. Who do you thank for this invisible force? You can't thank the invisible force. God has nothing to do with it. Let me give you the Christian perspective on this now. See, I know that there are things that are predestined. I know. You're predestined. I know that. But at the same time that I know that's true, I know God will stop the sun and the moon for you. He did it for Joshua. He'll do it for you. I don't care what's predestined. He will change the sun and the moon and so you can get a victory. That's the way that we should be able to see it. See, God will stop the sun. He'll stop the moon. He'll do anything for you. He loves you that much. So it's not fatalistic. God will move on our behalf. Right? So the first one's luck. Second one's fatalistic. The third one's self. It's just you. You're your own God. You planned it, you schemed it, you put it together, you wrote it down in your day planner, you made it happen, you put it together, it's all, you did it, you did it. You know, you're your God, and so when good things happen in your life, it's because you did it, you made it happen, you took care of it. Now, when things not so good happen, now whose fault is it? See, we think, well, I missed the formula somewhere. I missed a crucial part of the formula. I just didn't get it down good enough, well enough. I missed the formula somehow. So we have to blame ourselves or credit ourselves because we're our own gods. We're self. Now see, when you're a Christian, you don't think that way. God is God. God is God. There are certain things that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray. I'm supposed to give. I'm supposed to serve. There are certain things that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be joyful as we're talking about. I'm supposed to be praying always as we're talking about. I'm supposed to give thanks continually. Give thanks for in all circumstances. These are things that I'm supposed to do. But how many of us have ever done all the things that we were supposed to do? We had the formula done, but it still didn't work. Now, whose fault is it? See, we're such an ungrateful generation. We've got so much. We've got more than any previous generations ever had. But we still want more. And we're unthankful for what we do have because of what we don't have. When you become a Christian, it's not luck. It's not fatalistic. It's just not preset. And I am definitely not my own God. I submit my life to God. He's to take care of me as a father does a child. This is what happens to the Christian. Something inside of every Christian desires to thank God for everything. Something inside of you, that's the Spirit of God. It desires to want to thank God. See, Thanksgiving is the fabric of your life if you're a Christian. Not cotton. Thanksgiving. See, if for nothing else, we're saved. God has saved us. We're not going to hell. Now, that's amazing right there, right? I mean, that's something to thank God for. in every situation that I go. Just that alone is good to thank God for. No matter what circumstances, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Because this one might kill me, you know. But beyond that, I have learned, and you have too, that it's in those times when it's not right that God does His best work in me. It's at those times when He molds the most, or He cuts out the most, or He fixes what is broken the most. It's at those times. See, the Scriptures repeatedly talk about thanksgiving to God and giving thanks to God. And I think it's extremely important that each one of us know why we should give thanks to God, how we should give thanks to God. I think it's extremely, extremely important that we get this. Because you're going to crash. You're going to hit a circumstance. If you're not in one now, there's one coming. Because there's trouble. There's trouble. We're going to be seeing this. We were created to live through trouble. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have crashes. We're going to have situations and circumstances in life. And there's going to be a thousand times during our lifetime that we're going to say it's not right. But is it right? See, if I am a Christian and I'm in Christ Jesus, is it right? Is God really doing something in my life? Now, what I want to do is I want to start looking at some scriptures. And the first one that we're going to be looking at, the first scripture is, we sang it. And this should be a covering for us. This is how we should go through life and understand life. So let's read this one. It's in Romans 8:28. Says this, and we know. Now, this is something we should know. We don't know, but we should know this. And we know that in all things, how many? All things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. The covering over every Christian should be this thought, that whatever's going on in my life, though it's not right, in my perspective, it must be right because it's God's will for me. And He's going to take that. He's going to blend the it's not right circumstances with the amazingly wonderful circumstances. And He's going to make it work good for me. He's blending it all together for me. This is the purpose. It's for your good. You're going to come out of this thing better than you went into this thing. When we properly understand thanksgiving. And if you live in believing this, then you'll stop blaming the devil. You'll stop cussing God. You'll stop cussing the circumstances. And you'll let God do His work. Because it's going to be for your good. Now, this is an amazing thought to me. It amazes me. You see, if I can see the it's not right circumstances like surgery. You know, we will go through, and we will even have thanksgiving for surgery if we know we're going to go through the surgery and the discomforts of surgery, but we're going to come out of it healthier. We will tolerate the pain and the discomforts of it if we know we're going to be healthier and live longer. If something is cut out of us that shouldn't be there, or if something is broken that needs mending, If we can just think of it that way. And this is how we should approach and go through every single it's not right circumstance. Every single one of them. That God is working on me. He's fixing me. He's cutting something out that doesn't need to be there. He's fixing something that's broken inside of me. And if I can approach it from that perspective, then I have got a handle on any situation that I encounter, anything that I crash in. I can handle it because I know that God's will for me is to get through this thing. God's will for me is not to let this thing take me down, but because of this thing, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to have a better life. See, so it's not that it's not right. It just hurts. It's painful. So this is what I want us to see. This is what I'm trying to get us to understand in life. So let's look at another. And this, I want to make sure that I say this. That's not sadistic. That's not That's not weird. This is godly. This is how we're supposed to go through life. But see, so many Christians, I've watched them, and you have too, you know them, that have done this. They hit a bad spot. They hit it's not right spot, and God doesn't fix it for them immediately. And they turn their back on God. They get hard against God. They get bitter towards God. They curse God. They walk away from God. And all God's trying to do is fix them. It's like getting off of the surgeon's table, you know, while you're laying there, and he's going to work on you. No, you're going to get up and walk away. No. God's trying to help them, but they're rejecting God's help. So, let's look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:16. If you are praising God with your spirit. Now, what that means is you're praising God in an unknown tongue. This is what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 14. So you're praising God with your spirit in an unknown tongue. How can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen, or I agree with that, to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? What has that got to do? I want to understand this. What Paul is doing here is he's addressing their use of tongues. They were misusing it. They were talking in tongues all the time and everywhere. And so one of the primary things that was happening in the church in the first century was thanksgiving. And so what Paul is here saying is this, is that listen, thanksgiving is more important than tongues. Thanksgiving is more important than spiritual gifts. Now, I love spiritual gifts. I talk in tongues. But what's primary? See, well, they would come together, and they just didn't come and give a little token to God in thanksgiving. They gave thanksgiving to God, and this overflowed into the lives of other people. And everybody, non-believers, would see them handling their situations and their it's not right circumstances. And they would see them handling those situations the way they should be handled, and that would win people to Christ. And Paul is saying here, listen, thanksgiving is primary. You know, I was thinking about that. You know, we come into church on Sundays and we give God a little token thanksgiving. You know, it's a religious operation. We're just going to church today. I'm here. You know, be thankful, God, I'm here. That's kind of how we approach it. You see, no, when you come to church, it should be a time of thanksgiving. That should be one of the primary things you do. I don't care what you're going through. I don't know what circumstance you're facing. But that's what's going to win people to Christ, and that's what's going to change your life. Thanksgiving. It's primary in the church. Let's look at another scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:15. All this is for your benefit. All this is for your benefit. So that. Now, we talked about the marital thing, you know, in the last couple of weeks, and there was a so that for the wives, and there was a so that for the husbands. Now, this is a so that for all of us. So that, watch now, the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving. What is grace supposed to cause? Thanksgiving. You're saved by grace. If God's grace is upon you, you're supposed to give thanksgiving. And it's supposed to spill out of you to overflow to the glory of God. Now, let me help you understand understand grace. Grace in the New Testament is more like favor in the Old Testament. It's God's favor upon a person in the Old Testament. It's God's grace in the New Testament. You're saved by grace. Now, what that simply means is you didn't have a thing to do with your salvation. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You can't. It's God's unmerited favor upon your life. It's God's favor. If you want God's favor on your life, if you want the blessings of God on your life, it requires thanksgiving. In all circumstances. If you want the blessings of God, if you want to open up an avenue to the Lord, learn about thanksgiving. Learn about thanksgiving. And as that happens, more and more people will see how you're handling. What a witness. What a witness that is to people who see you, understand. See, your mind is enlightened. I read that scripture earlier about don't let the fire of the Holy Spirit go out. Well, don't put it out. What that means is that in their day and time, they lit rooms, not like with electricity like we do. They lit rooms with a torch or with a candlestick. And when that went out, then the hearts got darkened and the thinking got futile and foolish. So what we're saying here in this thing is we want to lighten up. We want to have illumination in our thinking. We want to have understanding about circumstances and situations that we go through. And the way we get it is through thanksgiving. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 5:4. Nor should there be obscenity and foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. What's he saying? Now, we did this in the Cussing Christian series that we did. We saw that we shouldn't be cussing. and what Paul is saying here, instead of getting angry, and instead of getting upset and cussing the situation, and cussing the circumstance, or cussing the people that created the circumstance, instead, give thanksgiving. Instead of cussing God, thank God for the situation. Rather than getting all upset and getting all frustrated and angry, and we saw how that rolls out, one thing leads to another, and you hit somebody, or you lose your temper, or something bad's going to happen. Instead of that, give thanksgiving. So our language will change if we can learn how to give thanksgiving. Now let me give you a clue. See, if your words change, what that means is that your heart's changed, for it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, which means it's for the heart to change, and the soul and the attitude has got to change. Right? So all of this has changed. Your attitude's changed, your heart's changed, your words are changing, and when your words change, your world change. So learn how to let thanksgiving be the replacement for your cursing and your profanities and your anger and being upset. Now let's look at another one. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another. Let one another see you do this. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And here it is. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get Jesus involved in this. Right? See, if I am truly a Spirit-filled believer, if I am, then what I do is I bring thanksgiving to God for everything that's going on in my life. Somehow God is in it. Oh, I know He's in the good things. But do I know He's in the bad things? Do I know that He's in the it's not right things? At least it seems like it's not right to me. Yes, He is, because He's God. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. What does that mean? Don't get stressed out. Don't get blown apart. Don't get anxious. Don't get worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. What is that saying? When I go to pray, I go to pray, then what I should do is not just ask God or beg God or talk to God about my problem. I should thank God for the problem. I blend thanksgiving into my prayer and into my request. It seems so weird, doesn't it? Take that down. Wait, it is down for just a second. Let me just give you something. Let me give you this thought. You come down, and we have prayer time, and you come down and you say, pray for me about this situation. And so I start praying for you. Let's say you're sick, your body's sick. I anoint you with oil, and I put my hands on you, and I say, thank you, Lord God, for this sickness. Thank you that you made this person sick. Thank you, you allowed this person to be ill. What will you do? You ever ask me to pray for you again? But am I biblical? Would that be the way I should pray for you? Now let's read the rest of the passage here. You just won't ever ask me again. Yeah, you're right, but I'm never asking you to pray for me again. Okay, here's the rest of it. If you do this, okay, you're giving thanks for this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, you're anxious. These situations, these it's not right circumstances, they have this way of making you anxious, stressing you out, getting you upset. Do they not? But if I can begin to thank God for it and get some understanding about this thing, if I can begin to understand Thanksgiving the way Thanksgiving is intended to be, a peace comes on me. And the anxiousness and the worry and the stress and the depression leaves me. And it guards my heart. And it guards my mind. And it guards my soul. Because I've given Thanksgiving. We're going to stop there today. I had a bunch more scriptures. I just selected these just to talk to you about. But I could have used any of them. I mean, there's a bunch more in there. And over the weeks, we're going to be looking at more. But what happens when you give Thanksgiving? What happens? Well, let me show you what you've learned today. Number one, you will not put out the fire of God. The fire of the Holy Spirit will be in your life. What's going to happen is your mind is going to be enlightened. You're going to understand things other people don't understand. You're going to be able to see things other people can't see because you're going to be illuminated. What's the second thing that's going to happen? You're not going to have a dark heart. You're going to be able to think straight. Your thinking won't be futile. Your heart won't be foolish and turning dark. Third thing that's going to happen is it's not going to be any longer luck. It's not going to be any longer fatalistic. No longer will you be your God because you're leaning into God. And God becomes your God because you understand He's working these things for you. Which leads me to the fourth thing. The fourth thing that's going to happen when we're thanksgiving and we're moving into thankfulness is that we're going to really understand that God, though I don't understand this moment, that He is still taking the moment, even though I don't understand it, and He's working it together for my good. Even though it's painful, even though it's surgical, He's cutting something out of me that doesn't need to be in there, that's cancerous. He's repairing a break in me that needs repairing. It hurts. It's painful. But I know I'm going to be healthier. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to live healthier. I'm not going to be stressed out. I'm not going to be anxious. Fifth thing, I'm going to come to church with a brand new attitude. I'm really going to come, not giving a token Thanksgiving. God, I guess you're thankful that I'm here. No, I'm thankful, God, that you're here. I want to come in and I want to give you thanks. I am in this mess. I am going through this situation. My heart is broken. My life's a mess right now. But I want to thank you for this. I don't know what all you're doing, but I know that you're working it together for my good, and I'm going to come out of this thing better. I don't want to give you a token thanks. I want to give you a pure thanksgiving. Sixth thing that's going to happen is you're going to have the favor of God on your life. God's grace is going to be active in you. You're going to open up a brand new avenue for Him to bless you. What's the sixth thing, seventh thing that's going to happen? You're going to change your language. You're not going to be using profanities. You're going to be thanking God for the things you were cussing. You're going to be thanking God rather than cussing God. You're going to have a brand new language. Your world will change because your words have changed. The eighth thing that's going to happen is you're going to learn to give thanks in everything. Everything. There is nothing that's not worthy of thanking God for that's happening in your life right now. Ninth thing, you're going to understand that God blends all these things together for your good, and what you're to do is blend all this stuff together with thanksgiving. Your prayers are to be blended with thanksgiving so that you can have a peace that passes understanding, that you can go through life peacefully, healthy, not stressed out and depressed, a peace that guards your heart and guards your mind. See how much you've learned today in just 40 minutes. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? If we just learn how to do proper Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what has sucked the Thanksgiving out of you, the joy out of you, the praying continually out of you. I know that in many of us, it has. I don't know what it is. But I know this, that in every single situation, you can find something to give thanks for. I was going to talk to Kevin. He had to leave. But Kevin and Danny, they lost their mom this year. And you know, that was, it doesn't get any worse than losing your mom. And I went through that. I know. And it's the last thing in the world you would want to thank God for. Thank God for my mom dying. It sounds weird. It sounds goofy. But see, even in the darkest and the worst of times, there's something to give God thanks for. You know Joyce. You knew Joyce. She had a horrible heart attack. It was massive. She went to the hospital. She was in the hospital for several weeks recovering and then went to rehab. We had a couple of more months with Joyce. And then she died. But see, thank God that we had those months with Joyce. Thank God that Danny and that Kevin had that much more time with their mother. Thank God that Joyce was saved. Thank God that now she's in glory. She's not pushing her walker around. She's not hurting. She's up there with their dad, running and leaping and praising God. Now that's something to give thanks for. See, we can look at things in a negative way, that it's not right. No, it's not right. But there's something in there that we can find to thank God for. And I use that particular example because I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through something. If you're not, you will. And when it collides with you, before you begin to blame God or blame the devil, get that thing straightened out. Understand before it gets too far that God is the one I need to thank for this. I don't understand it. I don't like it. It hurts. But I know, God, you are doing something in my life. And if I can just get through this thing, I'm going to be a better person. Life's going to be better. I'm not going to be stressing. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be anxious. I am going to have a better life. I don't know what you're going through, but Thursday is Thanksgiving. Whatever you're going through, thank God for it. And let Him take that and open an avenue for you for the blessings that He has for your life. I am totally convinced that some of us are still going through stuff we've been going through for years and years and years because we've never learned the secret of Thanksgiving. The purpose of this series is to learn the secret of Thanksgiving. Let me pray for us. Thank you, Father.